Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated, and as you are, tell someone around you that God loves you, and so do I. And you look very nice this morning. That's something to be honest about. Lip service. Well, a fifth grade little girl was about to head off to catch the school bus when her father stopped her. He said, "You will be grounded beginning tomorrow if your room is not clean by the end of the day." And after school, she came home and began to work diligently on her homework because she goes to school in the 21st century where teenagers have too much homework. Amen? So she worked diligently on her homework, and at the end of the day, when she had finished it, her dad yelled at her, "Come down and eat before dinner gets cold." Then he told her after dinner to go and spend time praying. Then after all that eating and praying, there wasn't any time to clean her room. She said, "It'll wait until tomorrow. It's time for bed." She woke up the next morning frantic as her father was yelling down the hallway, "It's time for breakfast. Come and eat and be thankful that I have made you breakfast." So she went to eat. And during breakfast, her father went to see her room. And afterwards, he walked back to the table and declared, "You are grounded for 2 weeks. You did not clean your room." What she didn't understand was that every other room in the house was a complete wreck. There wasn't even an unspoken standard that the house should be neat and tidy and dusted. It seemed that most days there was a trail to walk through the house between stacks of her father's stuff and clothes that were piled on the floor. Her father would even wash his clothes and leave them in the dryer until he wore them again. She didn't understand the rules of the house. It didn't make sense. No one had explained them to her. She did not understand why it was such a big deal to clean her room. She felt like she was getting lip service from her father. And furthermore, she didn't understand why she was never recognized for her good grades and a 4.0 GPA. She had a great heart. She was a good kid. Lip service. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus goes to one of those places that spiritually hits home if we are listening. Some Pharisees and legal experts. Good and upright, rule-following people. Notice that Jesus and his disciples weren't following the rules that were expected of good and upright Jews. These disciples had been on the move, preaching and teaching and healing people, and I bet at the end of the day, they were hungry. So they just sat down and began to feast. They jumped right into the meal. They did not wash their hands. And the experts asked Jesus, "Why are your disciples not living according to the rule handed down to them by the elders, but instead eat food with ritually unclean hands?" Jesus stops, answers them with a prophecy from Isaiah after sharing, perhaps politely sharing, that they themselves were being hypocritical. Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are of human hands." Human words. And he goes on to say, You ignore God's command while holding on to rules created by humans. Our own Bishop Ken Carter says this about this passage. He says, "The external behaviors, especially those where we observe others, and particularly those that do not measure up to the traditions of the elders, are portrayed in Mark 7 as resulting in defiled hands. The deeper motivations and intentions arise from the heart. When our lives are far from God, to use Isaiah's language, the source is a defiled heart. When our lives glorify God, there is purity of heart. This purifying of the inner life is a constant struggle. The mystics knew this. James, at the end of his first chapter, urges us to keep ourselves unstained from the world, even as we come alongside the most vulnerable situations." Jesus was saying that these folks, these people that were in the face of his disciples, he said, "What you really need is to keep your mouth shut and have a change of heart." And it might just be that Jesus is saying that to the church as well. A change of heart takes action. "Ouch, Jesus, you want me to do something?" It's true. It takes action. It's a hard word to hear. But we often honor God with our lips, and we have distant hearts. Have you ever been singing in a worship service? I was in music ministry full time for 12 years. Never going back there again. Have you ever been singing in a worship service and immediately after the service, the first thing you do is tell someone how much you didn't like the song you were singing? Failing to mention you have no idea of the words you were saying, or to mention the faithful musicians providing the music and the melodies, or having the gift of instruments making music to the Lord. Lip service is as simple as that. Where is the heart? A changed heart would say, "I am blessed that I have the strength in my body and song in my soul to worship the God of the universe today, with any song that is being sung." For us to faithfully follow Jesus, we have to welcome a change of heart. We heard in our epistle lesson in James, to welcome the word planted deep inside of us, to have a change of heart, to go from speaking, from lip service, to speaking from a heart change, we must welcome the change. A change of heart takes action. And second, a change of heart takes intention. After welcoming a change of heart, we have to take a good long look in the mirror and check our intentions. A change of heart takes intention. James 1:23 says this, "Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at themselves in the mirror, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like." This is when we have to take a look at ourselves and intentionally choose to be different. If you looked in the mirror and your hair was a hot mess, more than likely, if you were going out somewhere, you would take the time to intentionally run a hairbrush through your hair. And we've all seen people that did not intentionally do that, sometimes right here in Boca Grande. But to go beyond lip service, we intentionally practice what we preach. And when we look at ourselves and look into our hearts and we see that something is out of order, we must intentionally take steps to keep our motives pure. Action, intention. And third, a change of heart leads us to devotion. Devotion to what? Well, Jesus says in verse 8 of Mark 7, You ignore God's commandment while holding on to rules created by humans and handed down to you. What is God's commandment? We read in the Gospels that it's to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love for our neighbors, whether they're near or whether they're far, takes the same priority as love for ourselves. That's what the gospel does to us that turns our world upside down. The world teaches us that we need to love ourselves first. The law of God, the great commandment of God, is to love God first. Love your neighbor, and then love yourself. The reading from James says it in a very explicit and exemplary way. It says, true devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties, and to keep the world from contaminating us. I think the great contamination isn't necessarily what you do that defiles you. The great contamination is not putting God first and loving God first. We have to have a devotion to the love of God and the love of our neighbor. Each of us in this room today and all who follow Christ, we're all called beyond lip service and to serve through the depths of a changed heart. In ministry as disciples of Jesus Christ, we cannot tell others to go clean up their rooms unless we're cleaning our rooms. It is the heart that matters. When I answered the call to ministry, it wasn't enough for me to just say yes. I had to take action when action was necessary. There were educational requirements. There were geographical requirements that required us to move. I had to move my family to answer this call numerous times. There were financial requirements, educational responsibilities, counseling. Thank God for that. I had to be intentional to become the person God was calling me to be. I couldn't just talk about it and fake my way through it. It had to be intentional. My heart had to be intentional and devoted to it. And lastly, I had to be and have to be continually devoted to it, devoted to the great commandment of Jesus Christ, to love God and love my neighbors, and to do whatever it takes for that love to be manifested in my life. I am known as a rule breaker. And I'm okay with that. The rules of humankind are okay. Sometimes they help us, and sometimes they hold us back. But the great rule of faith, the great commandment of God, is what is most important. It is not enough for us to give God lip service. It's a heart thing. Now, all of us here will say things that we regret. Anyone done that before? Can I get an amen? We will do things that we wish we didn't do. Yeah, amen. Some days we will fail at being good disciples. And some days we will thrive at being good disciples. And at the end of the day, when we look into the mirror, the question we must ask ourselves is this: what is the condition of my heart? And it's not just a personal question, it's a collective question. What is the condition of the heart of the church? Is our heart in the place where we are ushering in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? I pray that the church have a heart change that leads us to action, to intentionally do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, no matter what it takes. And no matter what we feel like, and no matter what lip service we've given to the world in the past. I was riding on the island this past week during a pretty heavy rainstorm. And you all know that right down the street from us here, there is a lighthouse. I hear that this lighthouse is soon to be refurbished. But in its present state, it's easy to tell that it's weathered. There are some rust markings on the outside. There is perhaps a little bit of structural damage to the tower. But it stands. As I was riding, I began to see the lamp in the lighthouse begin to shine. Its rays broke through the rain, broke through the storm, pierced through the wind. Its intention of being a lighthouse was being met despite what it looked like on the outside. It wasn't just standing there with no light, giving lip service to the island. No, it was doing its job. Our intentions of being the hands and feet of Christ can be met because we are the church, and it doesn't matter what our exterior condition may be. The lamp is the heart of the lighthouse. Without the lamp, it would just be a tower. You may look in the mirror some days and look worn and rusty and feel like you are in disrepair. Yet the question is this: have you had a heart change to the point where your heart is shining through despite your exterior appearance? A change of heart takes action and intention and devotion. And this is what I want to see happen in my life this week, and I would challenge you to see this happen as well. To simply go beyond lip service and become a disciple whose heart is filled with the life and love of Jesus Christ. And I would ask you to take this action as well. When you get up in the morning and take a look in the mirror, pray this prayer: God, change my heart today. Make me a disciple. And may my intentions be to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. And after you pray it, live it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.